Todd Zwillick with you here on The Takeaway. And as the country prepares for Labor Day this weekend, we want to spend a little time thinking about the middle class and how Americans get there. Entering the middle class, being solidly middle class, it's at the center of that story we tell ourselves about the American dream. Get an education, get a job, work hard, and that's how you come out on top in this country. But as you heard earlier in the hour, being in the middle class does not mean your financial troubles are necessarily gone. Not anymore. The rules have simply changed in America. Automation, wage stagnation, steep increases in tuition, and yes, corporate profit all mean that the work hard and get ahead rulebook simply no longer works for a lot of Americans. All mean that the work hard and get ahead rulebook simply no longer works for a lot of Americans. Robert Reich was Secretary of Labor under President Clinton from 1993 to 1997. He also served in the administrations of President Ford and President Carter, and he's currently Professor of Public Policy at the University of California. Robert Reich says defining the middle class today is pretty much impossible to do.
Well, there is no official definition of the middle class. People who look at the economy and look at workers typically measure the middle class as, first of all, the median income, that is the person who's smack in the middle, equal number of people above, equal number of people below, and then look at incomes that are 50% above and 50% below that median.
All right, so that's middle class statistically. Let's talk a little bit about what middle class means in the real economy in terms of how much money you get, what you can buy, and what kind of life you can have with you and your children.
It depends a lot on where you live. For example, if you are in New York City or Boston or San Francisco, in order to afford even a living space, you're going to probably have to earn $150,000, $175,000. And even then, we are hearing a lot of complaints by people of that income level that they can't afford a good life in San Francisco. A family with two kids in the heartland of the country would probably need anywhere from $50,000 to $90,000 to feel that they could afford a home with two bedrooms, they could afford what they need. They're not going to be leading a luxurious lifestyle, but we're talking about a place where housing costs are relatively lower than they are in many places around the country, and also where other costs of living are more modest.
One of the things we want to talk about, Mr. Secretary, are alternative paths to the middle class. We've heard a lot about this over recent years. As manufacturing has dwindled in this country, if you didn't go to four-year college, can we still rely on that? And if not, how do we start to talk about alternatives?
We cannot rely on manufacturing because even though the percentage of the economy that is based on manufacturing has not dwindled nearly as much as a lot of people fear it has, the number of jobs or percentage of our total jobs in manufacturing is far less because manufacturing is filled with computers and numerically controlled machine tools and robots. They're doing the work. Technology is taking away manufacturing jobs. And so manufacturing is certainly not the answer. And so the big question for a lot of people is, what's the route? What's the route into the middle class? And the typical answer is you have to go to college. You've got to get a four-year college degree. That can't be the total answer.
Well, if that can't be the total answer, what's the economic case for an alternative? I mean, we can't just conjure another path, of course. What are some of the new ideas?
I think we have to develop an alternative route, technical and vocational education, but not just the way we've been doing it, which is kind of a third tier for the dropouts and the kids who are not going to make it. I'm talking about a world-class vocational technical education, ways in which young people who don't get a four-year college degree can nonetheless learn to gain mastery over an area of technology so that they can subsequently learn on the job.
You're talking about a focused education with real economic relevance, computer programming, healthcare, even plumbing, things like that.
Yes, but also bear in mind that we are in the midst of a huge revolution in information technology and artificial intelligence. A lot of new machinery is flooding into hospitals and offices and elsewhere, but you need people to install it, to repair it, to upgrade it, to monitor it. And these specialists are going to be the new kind of technicians of the future. We don't have enough of them.
Robert Reich, I know we're talking about the future here and not the past, but it does seem to me that what you're advocating for here, unfortunately, is a great deal of backfill. Nobody really thought to put a little bit of money into the community colleges and vocational schools and the type of education that you're talking about that might have prevented this very conversation.
No, we're doing almost nothing. Community colleges have been starved for resources relative to their importance. We also need to promote the last year of high school and the maybe first 2 years of community college as the building block, as the key building block. And then also to develop what might be called skill ladders. That is, ways in which young people, once they get some of those critical skills, they can show to future employers that they have them, maybe take a simple qualifying exam or get a certificate, and that becomes the first rung on a ladder that enables them to show even greater mastery as they gain greater understanding. And then, again, view this as a lifelong learning process, because many of these technologies are changing so quickly that once you gain mastery over a particular domain of technology, you want to continue to upgrade those skills.
But if we do all these things, Robert Reich, exactly as you say, and the incentives work out, if wages are broadly stagnated, they've been moving a little bit in the last couple of years, but doesn't that mean that even if you choose a different path to the middle class, that traffic is just moving a lot more slowly on all the paths than it once did?
Yeah, this is not a solution to the bigger problem, but the big, big challenge is wages and compensation. And as technology continues to replace more and more jobs, it seems to me we've got to get very serious about something called a universal basic income. The first step would be to enlarge the earned income tax credit. That is a wage subsidy. It was invented by conservative economist Milton Friedman. It's now the largest anti-poverty policy in the federal government. And we've got to enlarge it because a lot of wages are just not going to be enough.
Former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich, professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Mr. Secretary, thanks again.
Thank you, Todd.
And be sure to join us again on Monday, this Labor Day. We're going to continue our conversation with Robert Reich, and we're going to talk about what it might take to change the American story a little bit, and that maybe a college education doesn't always offer the best chance of reaching the middle class.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.